child, and you are starting over and learning anew. So do not allow the enemy to tell you anything otherwise. You're not going to walk in with all the wisdom. And don't look at the other brothers and sisters in Christ that have been on this walk for a while and compare yourself. Learn from them if they're walking according to the scripture, according to the what we know, what Jesus did. Then you learn from them. I don't care if they're younger. I don't care where they are in their faith walk. We are together to encourage and improve our lives in Christ Jesus. Last week, we talked about the school of faith. I want to add just a couple more scriptures to your texts. If you're writing, just write these down because I'm going to do the work for you today. I've got a lot of scriptures to cover. 1 Corinthians 2:16, part B. The second part of that verse, it says, "But we have the mind of Christ as a child of God. When the Holy Spirit comes to live within you, the mind of Christ comes with it." So you have the ability to think and to do as Christ did. We have that. We have the Holy Spirit that dwells within us. 1 Corinthians 2, verses 10 through 12, and I'm probably going to read it all, but God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. God bless. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of a man which is in him? But even so, the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Yes, you have the ability to know, and you have the ability to do. The ability to do what is right is there through the Holy Spirit's guiding and leading. You have a choice, though. The ability to know is there. Again, you have the ability to learn and to apply. It's your choice. We have free will still because we have the Spirit of the, we have the Holy Spirit in us, and we have the mind of Christ. Why is it we find Christians, and I'll use quotation marks there, struggling in their walk? There's a part that we have to do. You have everything. I've given you all the tools, he says. I have given you my Spirit. I have given you the mind of Christ. Remember Christ who humbled himself even to the death of the cross, who did the will of the Father, not his own will. Everything he said and did, it was according to the Father. And we have that ability to do that. But why do you see people struggling? Philippians 2 and 5. Let this mind be in you, which also was in Christ Jesus. Do you see the first word? Three little letters, L-E-T, let. We have a lot of Christians that are not letting this mind be in you. This allows us to change our thinking, which in turns changes our behaving, how we behave, our behavior. And thus, we are able to walk in faith because Christ did it. We have all the tools necessary. Those that do not allow the letting of this mind happen, they don't walk, they don't talk, they don't look, they don't believe like those that do. It's very easy to pick them out. They are constantly struggling, constantly. We all struggle. It's normal. We were born into a different kind of mindset. We're having to struggle with this. As Joyce Meyer say, the battlefield is in the mind, and it truly is. It begins here first. What happens? This is the testing part of your school of faith. This is the testing part. Some get the studying. Oh, they can quote you scriptures left and right, probably can quote them better than I can. They even like to attend church, or school, as we call it sometimes. But they refuse to apply what they have learned and heard from the Holy Spirit. Then some study, and they apply what they have learned, but then they have a test and they fail. So they throw up their hands and they walk away from it all frustrated and devastated by the accusations of our enemy. I do not want you to be either one of those examples. No one in this church who teaches and preaches the truth wants you to be one of those examples. Our only purpose here is to grow you, to bring you to Christ, to grow you so that you can go out and make more disciples. Isn't that what Jesus told them? Go into all the world. Preach and teach and make disciples. We need an army. And that's what we're called to be, the army of God. The faith walk begins with the doing of the truth. Not just the hearing, the doing. That's when your faith walk begins. Doing is hard. So with the faith walk, the first thing you've got to have is trust. Trust is the first step in faith. Faith is something that God gave you. Remember we read fruit of the Spirit? Faith is one. Faithfulness is one of those things. This is the going through. What does trust look like? Trust looks like going through. Trust looks like letting go of what God is not godly in my life. That is trust. Trust is holding the course when I can't see the next step. That is trust. And at times, trust is waiting. Be still and know that I am God. That is your faith walk. It's usually action in motion. Faith pleases God. Why do we need faith? Well, first of all, you got to have faith to have salvation. Because if you don't believe, then you don't want. You can't have. Hebrews 11:6, but without faith it is impossible to please him, talking about God, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. He is pleased when we put our faith in him with everything in our life, everything, every decision, every word, every thought. When you put it into his hands. Thus we see the reward of being one who seeks him, which means not only to search out, but that word seek means to crave and require. When we seek his ways, his guidance, in all things we reap the benefit of the all-knowing, all-powerful God. Let me tell you what, I love my husband of 37 years, and I can trust that man, but he is still a man. He is not God. There are things in my life that he cannot fix for me. He can walk with me. He can hold me. He can love me. He can do all that he financially can do to make me happy, but there are things in my life that only God can move in. Only God. And the same thing goes for me. I can be there with him in so many things, but there are some steps I cannot take with him. Some places I cannot go with him that only God can go with. Why would I ask anyone other than God for that help? He put together everything that we see and things that we don't even understand. Why would I go elsewhere when I need help? When I need guidance, when I need direction, when I don't know what to do, sometimes trust is just waiting. It's activeness. It's not waiting in, you know, passiveness. It's waiting and speaking life into whatever you're waiting for. Yes, God hasn't given me that yet, but I am sure that he was true to his promises, that all good things will come for my good. All things will work for my good. Sometimes you have to speak that life. When you start talking negative, you're backing away and you're turning the enemy over to your situation. The Hebrew word, let's go on to 2 Timothy 2 and 15. Now, this is Paul talking to Timothy. He says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of God. 2 Timothy 2 and 15. Hebrew word for study. It just doesn't mean open the book and read. It actually means work. W-O-R-K, work. That means something's happening. You are doing something. You are putting it to use, what you're seeing and what you're hearing. We have some studying and doing to be doing, don't we? Show yourself approved. Study to show yourself approved. But now comes the testing part of your life when you step into salvation. Or should I say the molding? You're being molded. Since we have been sinners living our fleshly desires, we have changes which need to be made. Remember Philippians 2 and 5? Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Let. You have got to allow it to operate in your life. This begins with our flesh. Usually this is the first steps that you find in your walk. When you start walking the Christian walk, you begin the process of sanctification. Pastor hit on that sermon a little bit last week, and I'm sitting there going, well, Lord, I can tell he's laying the pavement already. Sanctification, or to be sanctified, means not only set apart, but cut away from. Christ sanctified us through his sacrifice on the cross. That shows you what God has done for us. He has cut us away from sin, and he set us apart from sin. We have been positioned through salvation by Jesus as sanctified people of God, separated from sin. But we must choose to be, as the scripture says, holy as he is holy. Which means we must choose holiness and live out the sanctification process which the Holy Spirit and the Word of God, when we apply it to our lives, allow him to guide us, the Holy Spirit, he will guide us to and through. Sanctification is defined as is a state of separation unto God. So literally, you have been made right, you've been sanctified, made right, in right standing with God. That's what salvation does. But sanctification is your state of separating yourself from something, cutting yourself off, and separating yourself unto God. Marriage is a great example. Many of us dated many people before we chose one that we were going to spend the rest of our lives with. Do you think your marriage would last if you didn't separate yourself from everyone else for that one person? No. We have great examples of that every day. Look around you. Divorce rate is quite high, even in the church. Most of the time, they didn't separate themselves from lifestyles, choices that didn't coincide with what marriage and what God had set forth as marriage. Holy. Remember I quoted, holy as he is holy, that scripture. Holy means to be set apart from sin and evil and to be morally pure. God wanted you holy as he is holy, that scripture. 1 Peter 1. Verses 13 through 16 in the New King James Version says, therefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Notice it didn't start with your shoes. Didn't start with your hands. It says, in your mind, be sober and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ as obedient children, not disobedient. not conforming yourselves to the former lust, that's putting away the formal stuff, as in your ignorance, but as he who called you in is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, because it is written, be holy for I am holy. That's 1 Peter 1:13-16. I want to read the Passion Translation of that verse, those verses. It says, so then prepare your hearts and minds for action. This is not a passive thing. This is action. Stay alert. Fix your hope firmly on the marvelous grace that is coming to you. And he goes on, it says, as God's obedient children, never again shape your lives by the desires that you followed when you didn't know better. Instead, shape your lives to become like the Holy One, meaning Jesus, who called you, or God who called you, for Scripture says you are to be holy because I am holy. And I really love the Amplified. It's very long. If you get the chance, go look at it. I'm just going to hit the highlights on that, those scriptures. The Amplified Version says, so prepare your mind for action. Be completely sober in spirit, steadfast, self-disciplined, spiritually and morally alert. Fix your hope completely on the grace of God. Live as obedient children of God. Do not be conformed to the evil desires which governed you in your ignorance, before you knew the requirements and transforming power of the good news regarding salvation. Notice it had power. Be like the Holy One who called you. Be holy yourselves in all your conduct. Be set apart from the world by your godly character and moral courage. Because it is written, you shall be holy or set apart, for I am holy. At the end, and I love this scripture, if you read the rest of the verse, it talks about a God who is the one who impartially judges according to each one's work. Conduct yourself in reverential fear of him and be profoundly respect him throughout your time on this earth. For you know that you were not redeemed from useless life, way of life, but you inherited from your forefathers, but you were purchased with something that was more precious than silver and gold. It was the priceless blood of Jesus Christ. And then he goes down, and we quote this scripture a lot if you go on down. It says, all flesh is like grass, and all its glory like the flower of grass. The grass withers, and the flower falls off, but the word of the Lord endures forever. That means what you see, what you have, all that you've acquired here, it's going to pass away. The only thing that's going to stand is the Word of God. Unless you have the Word of God within you, you're not going to stand the test of time. James 1:2-8, if you want to turn there, testing time attitude. What is your testing time attitude? I don't know about you, in school when I had a test, I was a nervous wreck. I was a pretty smart girl, got mostly good grades, but I did study. I studied to show myself approved. It was apparent on my report cards, on my grades. What is your testing time? Our testing is a little different. We have to be patient, and we have to be enduring and consistent. I want to read James 1:2-8. My brother, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. I don't know about you. I still struggle with counting that joy. Sometimes it's a afterthought. Knowing that the testing of your faith, notice what's being tested, produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Are you tired of not lacking nothing? This is how you get it. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith, there's that word again, you got to believe, you got to trust, with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man and stable in all his ways. The Passion translation of that says, "My fellow believers, when it seems as though you are facing nothing but difficulty, see it as an invaluable opportunity to experience the greatest joy that you can have, that you can. For you know that when your faith is tested, it stirs up in you the power of endurance." Remember, it's something I don't have that I now have through the Holy Spirit. "And then as you endure, as your endurance grows even stronger, it will release perfection into every part of your being until there is nothing missing, nothing lacking." The Amplified says, "Be assured that the testing of your faith through experience produces endurance, leading to spiritual maturity and inner peace. And let endurance have its perfect result and do a thorough work so that you may be perfect and completely developed in your faith, lacking in nothing." Isn't that wonderful? Lacking in nothing. That's Amplified. On down in James verses 21 through 25, it says, "So get rid of all uncleanliness and all that remains of wickedness. And with a humble spirit, receive the word of God, which is implanted," actually rooted in your heart. This is the Amplified version. "Which is able to save your soul, but prove yourself doers of the word, actively and continually obeying God's precepts. And not merely listeners, those who hear the word, but fail to internalize it, its meaning. Deluding yourself by unsound reasoning contrary to the truth. For if anyone only listens to the word without obeying it, he is like a man who looks very close, carefully at a natural face in the mirror. For once, and he has looked at himself and gone away, he immediately forgets what he looked like. But he who looks carefully into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and faithfully abides in it," that means does it, not only become a careless listener who forgets, but an active listener who obeys. He will be blessed and favored by God in what he does in his life of obedience. Do you understand? There's a clause there. To be blessed, you have to be in a life of obedience to God. Be a doer of the word. Talking about action again. We're talking about action. So why is it we are going through all this stuff? What is he doing? Remember the clay in the potter's hands? I want to tell you one thing. When I looked up the word patience in the Hebrew, it says endurance, consistency, the quality of being faithful and dependable, unchanging and enduring. That's what patience meant. Why we are, Jeremiah 18, 2 and 6 is the verses where he told the prophet to go down to the potter's house. He told him, "Rise and go to the potter's house, and there I will cause you to hear my words." And he went down to the potter's house, and he looked, and the potter was sitting there, and he had a piece of clay, a mar, clay on the wheel, and he was spinning, and he was making it, and it became marred, which means it became defective in his hands. So he didn't throw it away. He began again and made it into another vessel, the scripture says, as it seemed good to the potter to make. And the word of the Lord came to me, Jeremiah says, "O house of Israel, can I not do with you as this potter? Look, as the clay is in the potter's hands, so are you in my hands, O house of Israel." You are being molded and shaped into what God wants you to be. This is the whole purpose of coming. Salvation, yes, will keep you, you know, get you to heaven if you walk out the walk of faith and become obedient to God and do what he is molding you to do. So when you go through the trials and the tribulations, and the first thing that we have to go through is ourselves. Most of our battles are not with the enemy. It is with our own mindsets. And the enemy, as you've heard in this house say, he'll step back and just let you do you, because he knows where that's going to go. But if you listen to the Holy Spirit and you read the words of God and you apply what you have learned and allow the Holy Spirit to lead you into the truth, as the scripture says, you will find that you are blessed and able to do what God has called you to do. And look at it as being molded and shaped into a vessel worthy of God's use. That's our purpose. We are to get ourselves right so that we can help others see the light and the way to Jesus. The purpose of the testing is to become a vessel of honor. 2 Timothy 2:19-21, this is the New King James Version. And it reads, Nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands, having this seal. The Lord knows those who are his, and let everyone who names the name of Jesus Christ depart from iniquity. There you go. There's your faith walk. That's the beginning anyways. You got to depart from iniquity. You got to let that mind be in you. But in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay. And some are for honor and some are for dishonor. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified, there's that word, and useful for the master, prepared for every good work. There is nothing that he will bring you through that you cannot do if you allow him to mold you and shape you and you walk the walk of faith. There is times when he's asked me to do stuff and I was like, I don't understand that from, that don't make no sense whatsoever. But if I am obedient and I do it, I learn that I was, that was a blessing not only to myself because I did what I was supposed to do, but I blessed someone else. And Christ was lifted up in my life at that time. And sometimes, like we said, the doing part, the letting part, is letting go of things that don't agree with, you know, with the word of God. That sometimes when you can't see where you're going, but you're walking in that faith, and sometimes you're waiting, but actively waiting for God to open and do and move to what he has said he will do. We have to walk in faith. It pleases God. You cannot please God without faith. So I encourage you today, study the word of God, apply it to your heart, to your life, look at it and say, does my life line up to this? And if it doesn't, ask God, God, give me the strength and the wisdom, because he's already said you have the mind of Christ. If you lack any wisdom, ask me. I'm happy to give it to you. And you have the Holy Spirit who will lead you step by step through the process. And I'm going to tell you, it doesn't feel good a lot of times, because my ways were not God's ways. My thoughts were not God's thoughts. But if you will allow it to happen, you will become a vessel of honor for God to use. I hope this has blessed you. Thank you for being here. We'll close. My time's up. We'll go ahead and close. Father, we thank you for the word of God. We thank you for the Holy Spirit who leads, guides, and directs us, and the word of God who shows us all that we need to do. And we thank you that we can come to you and know that you will give us the wisdom that we need to be the people of God that we're called to be. Lord, let these words take root in our hearts and grow, Father, and may it return to you, not void, as your word says, it won't return void. And we thank you that you care enough about every detail of our lives, Lord, that you make this such an easy way for us to follow. Yet it is a narrow way, Father. We thank you that we are not on it alone and that we have all the tools we need to be successful. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.